Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Yizman Ki Lava Kol podcast. God willing, this Shabbos Chanukah, we'll be reading from Parshat Vayeshev. And as we know, the vast majority of Parshat Vayeshev tells the unfortunate story of Mechirat Yosef, the sale of Yosef into slavery by his own brothers. Now, the Parshat right at the beginning sort of sets the table and introduces this whole episode by telling us, Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. And it goes on to tell us about who Yosef is, how old he is, his dreams, his brothers hate him, so on and so forth. This really is the introduction to the entire episode. But it's striking that when introducing the Toldot Yaakov, when we talk about the generations of Yaakov, we only focus on Yosef. We would have guessed that if you're going to talk about the generations, the progeny of Yaakov, we would mention all of the sons. Now, we did talk about that at the end of Parshat Vayishlach, right after the sin of Reuven. We're told that Yaakov has 12 sons. Fantastic and wonderful. But now we're saying, Ela Toldot Yaakov. It sounds like we're going to start that discussion again, and we only talk about Yosef. And on top of that, it's especially interesting because at the very end of Parsha Ayishlach, last week's Parsha, we learn all about the Toldot, the generations, the progeny of Esav. So what is going on here? What is this introduction to the Yosef story? Why do we need it? And why is it specifically Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef, that these are the generations of Yaakov, and now you have the Yosef story? How are we meant to understand that in a vacuum? How are we meant to understand it, juxtaposed to the end of last week's parsha with the Toldot of Esav? So if you look, Rav Zalman Saretzkin in his Oznaim LaTorah, he suggests that the placement of this line, this introduction, is incredibly telling, and it's the absolute key to the entire episode. He says, "Acharei shesiper lanu toldot Esav, ve'amelachim asher malchu be'adom lifnei melech melech b'Yisrael." After learning at the end of last week's parsha, Parsha Vayishlach, all of the progeny, the generations of Esav, the kings that ruled in Edom before the Jewish people were ever able to establish a king, Bag hatuv lemor she'al yipale be'ainenu lama ilu rishayim v'shalvei olam. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. You shouldn't ask yourself, why is it that Esav and his progeny, they were so successful? They were able to have a king, eight kings, before the Jewish people were able to ever establish even one king. You shouldn't ask yourself that question. Why is it that the Jewish people were never successful in establishing a melucha, a kingdom in Eretz Canaan, like Esav did in Har Seir? He says, you shouldn't ask that question. And the Torah is going out of its way to tell us, this is what the Torah is telling us. Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. The answer to that question, and many others as we'll soon see, is Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. You want to know about the generations of Yaakov? You want to know about his children? You want to know about his success? Yosef. One word explains every single thing. Meaning, our parsha, it begins after that long discussion about Esav and his many descendants. And the Torah is emphasizing a contrast between the Toldot of Esav and the Toldot of Yaakov. Rav Zalman Saretzkin, he explains, "Halo lo kol agiborim ruyim liyasei mamlecha." Even if you're smart, even if you're wise, you're strong, you're a statesman, not everyone can establish a kingdom. "Ela eila shechayim be'ava v'achva b'nehem u'bochrim mikirba melech o aluf." It's only when there's a group of people that are able to live ba'ava ve'achva, with love and with brotherhood. They're able to live in harmony, and then they're able to choose from among themselves a king or a chieftain. Asher al pivi yetuv al pivi avo, that everyone's going to listen to. Sharei gam latzon yishro'eh. Even sheep have someone who leads them. They have a shepherd. Umeata bo na'ru b'nei Esav. So now, look what Esav was able to do with his children. Af shelo hayu kulam b'nei emachat, even though they didn't all come from one mother. Lo nidpalgu livnei edah. They didn't break up into separate clans. They didn't fight within one another. Livnei basmad, livnei alivama nishe Esav. They didn't split up to say, well, I'm the child of Basmat, this wife of Esav, and I'm the son of Ahalivama, who's Esav's other wife. U'mishachayu yachdav v'shalom b'achva, and because they were able to live with one another, they were able to do so in brotherhood, in peace, and in harmony. Bacharu mikirbam lamelech ebela ben ba'or shim shol aleihem. They were able to choose one king, this Bela ben ba'or, who would rule over them. But we know it wasn't just him. It was many others as well. Meaning what? Esav could establish a monarchy. He could enjoy great success and peace and tranquility and success. Yaakov and his sons, however, they were unable to do so. What do we know about Esav? His descendants were able to live with love and brotherhood between them. They were able to choose their leaders and chieftains without any arguments, without any strife. They were able to come from multiple families, multiple mothers, but they were able to stay united. What do we know about Yaakov? Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. One word. What do we learn in this story? Yosef, his brothers hated him. They split up into different groups. Livnei Leav, Livnei Rachel, Livnei Hashpachot. different groups of sons from this mother and that mother. Shesanu eila eila. They hated each other. Vafilu Yosef atzadik lo yana ki mimidazo. And even Yosef himself was guilty. Vevia dibad achiv echav el avihem. He was bringing these negative reports, lashon hara, to his father, to Yaakov. Vechav shar hayal anashim asonim zedzel yasei mamlacha mishutefet. How on earth were they going to establish a kingdom? How on earth were they going to create a government? How on earth were they going to be able to live together if they hated each other? And what ends up happening? Yosef, he has this dream that maybe he's going to be a king. And they hate him for it. And they become jealous of him. And as Rezalman Saratskin points out, it wasn't just Reuven who maybe had a taina. He had a claim that he was going to be the king. So he got upset. No, if anything, Reuven was maybe the most harmless among them. It was all the other ones who never, in theory, had an argument that they should rule over. And still they hated Yosef. That's who they were. So what ends up happening? The dreams, ultimately, as we know, they become true. Ultimately, those prophecies, they are fulfilled. But when does it happen? Only after the Jewish people have to go down to the land of Egypt. Only after they become slaves. Only after they have to go through the Kor HaBarzel. They have to go through that fiery furnace. They have to, you know, go through all the difficulties and challenges so that they can become purified to eventually create a kingdom, to eventually enter Eretz Yisrael and establish a government over there. But ultimately, it couldn't happen earlier on like the Bnei Esav because Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. Because these are the unfortunate events of the Yosef saga. The sons of Yaakov, they did break into their different factions. The Bnei Leah, Bnei Rachel, the Bnei Ashvachot. They all hated each other. And like we said, even Yosef was part of the problem. There was no chance that they were going to be able to come together. And that's the great contrast that we're trying to emphasize at the beginning of the Parsha. Esav, he was successful. Look what he was able to do. Look what his progeny, they were able to build, what they were able to create, how they were able to live in peace and in harmony. But that's because they got along. But what about the Jewish people? How come they never established the Melucha? Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. The Jewish people, they have always been their own worst enemies. The stark contrast between the success of an Esav and the failure to launch of a Yaakov and his family, it was and it always is Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. It's because we cannot get along one with the other. Sinat Chinam, baseless hatred, the inability to work together, all that has always prevented us throughout Jewish history from maximizing our own potential. That lack of unity among the brothers, that allowed room for discord, it allowed room for strife, all of those terrible things to take root. And their inability to come together, to appreciate each other's unique qualities and contributions, that unfortunately paved the way for tragedy. This is the very same Sinat Chinam that destroys the Amidash. And while it isn't often emphasized, the Mityavnim, the Hellenized Jews, they were far greater enemies of the Jewish people than the Yavanim, than the Greeks themselves. Not only did the Mityavnim, these Hellenized Jews, not only did they turn against us, but the disunity and the discord that they created, the rifts within our families and within our nation that they facilitated, that plagued us in the metaphysical realm too, because it killed our Achdut. Again, this is the lesson that we have to internalize. Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. The reason why we're not successful, the reason why we aren't able to maximize our potential is because we're always fighting with each other and we cannot get along. It's such an important lesson for us to internalize at all times. We're still mourning. We're still in the galut, in the exile because of Sinat Chinam. We have not corrected this mistake and we will continue to be here until we correct that mistake. Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. Look at the success of an Esav and recognize what is the recipe of that success. It's Achdut. It's unity. It's coming together. It's being able to see each other as bringing different things to the table. It means agreeing without hating or disagreeing without hating, I should say. That's what it is. That's how we're going to fix the problem. If we want to be successful like an Esav, then we need to make sure that we come together like Esav and his children. And of course, you know I'm going to talk about it as we reflect on the challenges that Klal Yisrael are facing right now since the Shemini Atzeret massacres. Since, we're still in the middle of a war with Hamas, there's a surge in global anti-Semitism. So we are reminded of the imperative need for Achdut. How badly we need to make sure that we come together, that we maintain a unity, that we stand together 100%. We have to learn from the mistake of Yosef and his brothers. If we had been unified leading up to these events, Hamas would not have found the room to inflict harm on us. I'm not suggesting that this is a punishment for lack of unity. I'm not a Navi. I'm not a Ben Navi. We have no idea why these things happen to us. But what I do know is that had we been unified beforehand, so then we would have been protected 100%. Achdut acts as a shield. It's a protective force. It guards against external threats. Success is inevitable when we are unified. Safety and security are guaranteed when we are one. So amid all of the challenges that we stand in, again, aside from the fact that we're just in a terrible time right now, we're still in the Galut thousands of years later. We're still in exile because of the mistake of Sinat Chinam. But especially now, amid these challenges, we stand at a crossroads. We can allow discord and division and Sinat Chinam to persist, or we could heed the call for unbridled unity, for ahavat chinam, for baseless love, coming together and trying to be as unified as we can possibly be. We need to have achdut. It's not merely a matter of familial harmony as it was in the time of Yaakov, but a collective imperative for the entire nation, for all of Klal Yisrael to come together as best we can. Our strength does, it always has, always will lie in unity, in coming together as one people with a shared purpose and a commitment not only to what is good for us, but what is best for the other as well. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but perhaps even more important than all of the extra learning that we've been taking upon ourselves, all the extra davening, the greater kavana, all the chesed, all the tzedakah, perhaps even greater than that, the achdut, the unity that we create will ensure our victory over Hamas. It will make sure that any external threats go away, and it will lead to the return of captives, to lasting peace, safety, and security in Israel and for all the Jewish people throughout the world. I guarantee it. If we're able to have that achdut, and to some extent we've made major strides in that area, if we can maintain that, so then God willing, we'll be successful at the end of this whole campaign. We'll be able to make it through this difficult time in a speedy manner. And God willing, everyone will be safe. Everyone will be secure. Things will be good going forward because of that achdut, because of that unity. If we really want to see not just the end of this war, but really to see Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach himself, we know. Why is it that Esav was able to establish a melucha? Why is it that he was able to create a kingdom? Because of his unity. If we want to see the Melech HaMashiach, the King who is the Mashiach, so then ultimately it's going to take love. It's going to take brotherhood. It's going to take achma, it's going to take shalom, it's going to take achdut. Let's make sure we join together our hearts, our hands, our minds, everything, and recognize that together we're stronger, we're more resilient, more capable of overcoming any single challenge, and that achdut is the number one key to our success in everything that we do, because ultimately we have too often made the mistake of Eila Toldot Yaakov Yosef. May Hashem grant us the wisdom and the strength to stand united, and may the achdut that we create from our hearts be the key to a brighter and safer future for Klal Yisrael immediately. Shabbat Shalom.